Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Canuck Central Tuesday here from Rogers Arena. As we are ready for Game 5, the Canucks have the Nashville Predators on the brink of elimination. We're about 3 hours away from puck drop. We're in the Mobile Kintec studio. Canuck Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. It's feeling like a spring hockey day today, Sad. I walked walked over the Cambie Bridge to the rink.
Yep.
The beautiful scenery. You see the Aqua Bus taking people around. Everybody's wearing their Canucks jerseys. And the vibes are continuing to increase here in Vancouver.
Yeah, they certainly are, right? Like, it's been, to me, when we get into playoff action, like, there's a different buzz around the city. I think we're starting to feel that again, and I think it's one of those days, too, when the sun shines out, it's spring,
yes.
And spring and playoff hockey go hand in hand.
They certainly do. And here we are, awaiting this game tonight. A lot of things to discuss. Let's get to it. It's the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks, an hour take on it. Canucks playoff coverage on Sports at 650, brought to you by All Seasons Roofing. Sun, rain, wind, or snow, All Seasons Roofing has you covered with end-to-end roofing services. For your free quote, visit allseasonsroofing.ca. So a lot of speculation today. We'll get into it about the netminder for the Vancouver Canucks tonight, but it's another one of those things, Sat, where I just... For me, the goalie conversation isn't really factoring in too much. I've said this since Demko went down. Canucks are good enough defensively that whether it's DeSmith or Shilovs, they have the tools to beat the Nashville Predators. And I think even in all this narrative that we've seen over the last couple of days, and certainly how people have broken down Game 4, yes, the Canucks needed a monumental comeback, one that seemed, at the very least, improbable in the moment. But if you really look at the totality of that game, the Canucks continued to defend really well. And if you look at the overall numbers for this series, the Canucks are still allowing the fewest shot attempts per 60 in the National Hockey League playoffs so far, and they have the lowest high danger chances against per 60 per the public data as well. So for as much as all of this talk has been about Nashville is doing this well, they're owning the neutral zone, they're gaining so much of the territorial battle, they're not doing anything with it. Not doing enough with it, at the very least.
Well, you're right. The thing they've won is the territorial battle, but it hasn't really led to enough quality scoring chances, enough goals, and more importantly, enough wins. Four games into the series already, right? And what the Canucks have done is really play into what their identity truly is defensively. And you're right, they're losing the neutral zone battle. The overall effort level from the Preds players has been a notch higher the last couple of games. Now, maybe that plays into the fact they were at home and they had some extra buzz or energy or whatever. But the Canucks couldn't match that. They weren't winning enough battles, and they weren't getting in on the forecheck effectively, losing the territorial battle again. But when it came to their actual defending in zone, that's what they've been good at all season long.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing even better at this point into the season. Now, part of it is Nashville doesn't have the most potent attack. I know they scored a lot off the rush, but the Canucks have eliminated most of that in this series too. And they're playing very compact in their own zone. We got into this slightly late in the show last night, but I do think how the centers are also defending and how the Canucks are covering the rail, the middle of the ice, and not allowing a lot of Preds players to penetrate in and get body position on them, get to rebounds. So if you're not allowing players to get to the net, you're not allowing players to get to the most dangerous areas, and you're not spreading apart defensively, you're really difficult to break down. And the Canucks' size, sheer size on the back end is so imposing. You're seeing how difficult it is for the Preds players to get through that.
They can't find a way to really penetrate through the middle of the ice as much as I'm sure they would like to get to the interior, all those kinds of things. Canucks are very long with their defensive style, and especially those pillars on the back end, but they block a lot of the, you know, passing lanes. You know, so they've become so good at that, at blocking those passing lanes. The power play has been a non-factor for the Nashville Predators at this point of the series, outside of, you know, the one goal they scored in game one with the extra man. So defensively, the Canucks have, and we tried to explain this and show it to people through the final third of the season. Like, where this team's best strength lies is in how they defend. They're not always the most potent offensive team.
Yeah.
What we saw early in the season was maybe a little bit of a mirage, and the puck luck was in their favor and all those things. But what developed, what evolved as the season went on, is the Canucks became one of the best teams in the National Hockey League defensively.
Absolutely. And I think part of it, yes, they got a lot of bounces early this season, but they were also catching teams off guard with how they were playing. And teams didn't know what to expect against the Canucks. The Canucks had never looked this good in years, right? And they were really imposing, and they were really good at turning pucks over, attacking mistakes. And how often do we talk about the Canucks being the team that causes you to make mistakes and they take advantage of it? And a lot of that happened earlier into the season. But truly, as a defensive unit, they've really evolved since obviously acquiring Zadorov and him fitting into the blue line better, getting the players really hone into your system better, because it takes a long time. As much as the Canucks had a lot of success early on, it still takes 50, 60 games into the season for your style of play to become second nature, truly,
yeah.
If you buy into your system. You hear players talk about this all the time. And then as you get past that point, can you evolve to being elite? And can you really hone in? And that's what the Canucks are doing defensively and playing to their absolute identity. And when you're still kind of protecting the middle and the front of your net, those are the trenches. And in the playoffs, you have to win in the trenches. That's part of the battle the Canucks are excelling in. The other part of the trench battles, which is board battles, getting on the forecheck, those are things they still have to improve on. But in terms of their defensive posture, obviously if they advance past Nashville, it's not going to be quite as easy against a team like the Edmonton Oilers. But if they get goaltending like they are right now, and if they can play defense like this, they're going to be tough to beat.
It is what their identity is as a team, is how they defend, and they can play better defensively, as this text says. Reach, the way you talk about the Canucks defending, what do you think about Nashville's defense, since Canucks have not had much offense for 90% of the ice time in this series? Are the Preds great on D? I don't know if the Predators are great defensively. The way that they've been defending this series is by keeping the Canucks as far away from their own net as possible.
Mm-hmm.
When they've gotten to or had to defend in their own end, it hasn't been quite so pretty, as we saw with the way they defended 6-on-5 the other night. With the way Game 2 played out, and they had to defend a lot in their own end, it's not like the Canucks weren't creating opportunities to come back in that game either. You know, they had 84 uh-huh. shot attempts. Yeah, we talked about it. They could have got to the interior a little bit more, but they hit a couple of posts. They had some opportunities. UC Saros came up big in a couple of situations. I think the Canucks' lack of offense in this series has been more about where their execution has failed than it has been about Nashville's ability to defend the Vancouver Canucks.
I think there is a lot of that. I would give Nashville a lot of credit for the best thing they've done is put the Canucks under a lot of pressure and duress and not allow their players to play through it. And the coach spoke about that, how some guys are being frozen by it a little bit.
Yeah.
And we kind of know which players need to be better at this rate in the postseason. And I think that's the switch here, right? Like, hey, yeah, the Lindholm line wasn't great the other night, but they scored the winner in overtime. And on the totality of things have been good so far in this series. We can't say enough about the JT line. And even the fourth line has been decent. We know what's missing, right? But in terms of the overall team is stringing plays together, that has to improve. But I do think a lot of what happened in Nashville, and especially what happened in Game 4, is creating some recency bias about the totality of the
yeah.
series. Because for all this talk about, yeah, is Nashville this great D? So the Canucks so far through this series have still outchanced Nashville.
Yes.
Like, so for all this talk about, yes, the Vancouver Canucks, you know, they need to do a lot better, and Nashville is better, you know, at home ice than Vancouver was, and that's all true, and they have to be better, right? On the totality of things, the Canucks have 30 high danger chances in this series. Nashville has 22.
Yeah.
5-on-5.
And some of that is game two, but still, you know, even if you were to throw that one out the window. Which,
well, a lot of the Canucks futility goes to game four, for instance.
Yes.
So you take that out of the window, and what does it look like, for instance? Just to that point, like, Nashville hasn't shut down Vancouver as effectively as Vancouver shut down Nashville,
yes,
right? And yes, they have to improve in a lot of different areas, but I do think their defensive play, to the point you're making, the numbers, the eye test, the results, they all show you how good they've been in their own end.
Rick Tocchet said it yesterday, and you can take it however you will, but he essentially just said Nashville's outworking us.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I don't think he thinks it's any sort of lack of effort from his guys or whatever that might be, but
their lack of want is greater.
Yes.
At times, right?
And Nashville, like, Andrew Brunette's got them so bought in that, like, this is the way we have to play in order to win. And they are working their bag off to have the game state at this level. And yet, when the Canucks are able to break through that pressure, when they're able to get their stars into good spots, they really start to show how quickly they can break down Nashville and their defense. I mean, you know, you saw it on the set play goal for the first one the other night. We've seen it with the power play at times where it maybe started slow early in the series. It's really picked up as the series has gone on. So they've done a lot of, like, good things once they get to the offensive zone, but their issue has been connecting play from the defensive zone into the offensive zone.
Yeah.
And they've been on their heels so much that a lot of the times when they do get the puck to the offensive zone, it's been, as JT Miller said a lot today, one and dones. So they get it in, but there's not much there, and then quickly Nashville's working it back the other way. You start to flip that script, and then Nashville's the one that's just flipping it high and out to get a line change and then, you know, try to start to turn the tide that way. But Nashville's had a lot of momentum. They just haven't done a lot with it. Canucks got to start connecting play in their own end and through the neutral zone to be able to start playing more on the front foot.
Absolutely. And you're right about being able to string plays together and connect play in the offensive zone, get some shifts going where you're cycling the puck around or at least getting multiple looks. They were able to do so actually 4-on-4. They had some really good shifts last game. But outside of that, I mean, it wasn't a ton. You know, like, again, it was a very low-event hockey game despite the fact that Nashville had such an edge in the territorial advantage just in terms of sheer possession time. It was in Nashville's favor. But even so, overall in the game, they had, what, 8 more shot attempts than Vancouver did?
Yeah.
So it wasn't quite as large a gulf as, you know, how the feel of the game kind of went. I think the word you described was perfect. It's momentum. And in playoffs, I think, especially with the emotion of the game and just how the games go, there's a feel sometimes when the ice is tilted one way or another that it's being dominant, that you feel dominated or under ton of duress because of the stakes being so high too, right? Because every bad move or any bad shift can lead to a goal against, and that creates a lot of anxiety in a game. But I think when you actually go back and watch the games and go through everything, there are a lot of things the Canucks can do a lot better, but they've really been good defensively. And I think that's something that is tangible and applicable beyond Nashville if you're able to get through them.
It does play a lot into this text, unsigned. Think of this, Canucks are not playing their best by any means, and they are up 3-1. Can you imagine if they put it all together? They can play two ways, defend or forecheck and attack. What they give us, they can play. Another text, Barry Trotz was on Nashville radio today saying Preds should be up 3-1. Didn't hear that, but look, Barry Trotz isn't completely out of, like, there is an alternate universe where the Preds win 3 of these first 4 games. They have been that close. The problem I have with saying that the Preds have been far and away the better team is that realistically they haven't done enough with the possession that they've had, as we've discussed. So JT Miller, you know, for as much as we talk about the offense and how hard it has been to come by at times, JT Miller still finds himself leading this team with 6 points, 1 goal, 5 assists. And it's not quite the Kessler series. I know there was a lot of those comparisons being made coming into the series. But, I mean, he has been their most consistent, impactful play driver. Besser's got the 4 goals, which have been brilliant, and the hat trick. They don't win that game without him. But for me, JT has been their most consistent performer from game 1 through 4.
Yeah, he really has been. And he's been the Canucks' emotional leader. He's been their physical leader. He's been their point leader. Like, he's done everything you would want from, your top four this year, which has been JT Miller. And he's built for this, too. Like, he's had, like, he's 30 years old now, right?
Yeah.
He's a player who's been through a lot of ups and downs in his career. He's been through a cup run with the New York Rangers. He's played at the biggest stage you could imagine. So he's been through all that. There was no question in my mind that JT Miller would be ready for the moment, and he's met every single expectation for it. And I think that's the great part about if you can get Pettersson going, is because the way JT Miller is going right now, and if he has another player behind him that can also produce at a high level, they're going to be so difficult to match up against.
Yeah.
After everything we said about them defensively, even with the goaltending, because right now you feel good even if Shilovs is playing, right? Or even if the Smith is playing. Probably more Shilovs with how it's gone recently,
yeah.
Right? But even if Demko comes back at some point, you feel decent on that aspect. But if you can get Pettersson going with the way JT is going, like, you have one of the more impactful players in playoffs right now. It's a tight defensive series so far, and JT's been able to play in every single area and excel.
This tweet coming in at @DanRicho_, without JT, Canucks would have lost the series already, especially with how the other forwards are performing, mainly Pettersson. That might be a little bit of hyperbole, but he has been integral. I don't know if it would have been a sweep for Nashville had JT not been going as well as he has so far in this series. Beans with this tweet, as good as fresh sugo on Sunday. I could agree with that. You know, it's a good thought. And Pete saying, best player from either team, so that's very good. That's how JT has been. And, you know, I know you put it in the notes today. Kessler, 5 goals, 11 points in 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, he was just a different animal in that Pred series.
No, it was different. I mean, JT's been incredible, right? Like, he's doing fantastic. Still a ways away from what Kessler did. I mean, what Kessler did was one of the more dominant playoff series performances we've seen over the past decade or a couple decades, right? Like, it ranks
ever.
High. Like, it ranked, that series in and of itself ranks high, right? That's of playoff lore.
It's every hockey fan remembers how good Kessler was.
Exactly.
Not just people in Vancouver.
No, and it's not, you know, and it's not like being romantic about a golden era or anything. Like, if you go back and watch those games and just watch what Kessler was doing, I mean, he was doing a lot of the stuff that JT's doing this year.
Yeah.
He was not nearly as good a playmaker and a passer as JT is, right? He was more of a goal scorer. But in terms of his defensive impact, his skating, his physicality, like, he was dominant. He crushed his matchups every single night, and then he scored 40 goals.
Yeah.
And he was cutting through guys. The way he was skating through players and the way he'd body guys, I mean, there was just a different level. He was playing like JT was in terms of his physicality and traits, but with even more speed and power in his game.
It damn near killed him by the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, but. I mean, he tore himself up against San Jose, and he wasn't the same player against Boston. But why are we talking about this again? Never mind. Let's get back.
Sorry. It's my bad. I brought the negative part up. All right, Canucks Central roundup. What's happening ahead of tonight's game? Starting goalie is officially a game time decision per the coach. But our next guest, Irfan Gafar, reported earlier today that it would be Arturs Shilovs that is going to get the start. Rick Tocchet was asked by our colleague, Canucks Talk co-host Thomas Drantz, if Casey DeSmith would dress as the backup tonight should Shilovs start. And Tocchet said, yes, it is trending that way. If DeSmith isn't the starter, that he would likely be the backup netminder. So I'm starting to wonder, Sad, if this is just like a, hey, we're more confident in Arturs Shilovs right now.
I think so, and probably the way it should be right now, especially if there was even a minor injury holding DeSmith back. But the way Shilovs played, and as good as DeSmith was, again, there isn't a huge gap between the guys, or there wasn't in terms of coming into the series and at this stage. But the way he looked and how comfortable he was,
he was super comfortable.
I think you stay with it. And I think his game is obviously not as loud as DeSmith's, right? And I wonder, like, if you get him into, again, like, the Canucks didn't give up a ton of quality scoring chances. How is he going to be when you get him moving in the crease a little bit? And as much as DeSmith has issues, he's really good at making the first save, even on desperation plays and things like that. And with the way the Canucks defend, they've been able to pick up that change and not allow them to be victimized on it. But it's stressful watching DeSmith. I get it, because he kicks out rebounds. But making that initial save is underrated, because if you're not making that initial save, then who cares about the rebound, right?
Yes.
And so right now, though, with the way Shilovs has played, like, I'm more than willing to give him another game here. Right? And if he plays great, great. And now you go into the next round, you have Shilov's going, and if he falters at any point, you go back to DeSmit. And I think with the way it happened, DeSmit got two games and actually had a minor injury. I don't think there are any ruffled feathers or anything going on either that's going to cause any anxiety internally about the goaltending situation. And I think DeSmit, instead of being rattled by this, I think he'd be chomping at the bit to jump into it again.
It's it makes sense. Like, if you lose Demko, you no longer have your ace, right? So maybe it does make more sense and is more prudent to play it as a tandem style in the way, you know, we see some other teams do, like the Boston Bruins with Swayman and Allmark and those sorts of things. So it is likely to be Shelov's for tonight's matchup. We will also, one thing I did want to mention with Shelov's too, he was super comfortable, but he didn't always look that way in his regular season games.
No.
He struggled to track the puck, and as we talked about it with Woodley, our goalie guru, every Wednesday, you know, sometimes he has a tendency to overplay things when he gets into uncomfortable positions. Whatever he was doing for Sunday's game, I mean, he was very comfortable because
yeah.
he didn't seem to overplay much of anything. So more of that from Artur Shilov would be a welcome sight. No other lineup changes for the Vancouver Canucks. Rick Tocchet essentially saying yesterday that he doesn't feel that there needs to be, that the solutions to the Canucks playing better are within their own ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing he has to do. There's no tactical adjustments. It's just they've got to start executing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that is it more than anything else. I mean, I don't see the Canucks forcing things that aren't there. And it's more about, do you come away with a puck in those battles?
Yeah.
Like, really, that's what it is. If you go back and watch every game shift to shift, you see what the issue is. Like, I'm not looking at it and saying, oh, they're being overloaded here. The Canucks aren't responding. Why aren't they doing this? Like, it's literally guys coming at them not moving the puck, them not being able to get out of their own zone at times, or them not winning enough battles. That's literally what it is. Most shifts where that's leading to them not having the advantage.
On the flip side, Andrew Brunette saying that there may be one change, undecided yet. That's what he said after the morning availabilities. But he is happy with the way that his team has played and doesn't think that they necessarily need to change anything. And, well, I mean, if you're him, why wouldn't you be all that happy? You want to see your team get into the inside a little bit more, but, again, you have to be pretty happy with the way that, you know, you've managed to almost win a couple of games here.
Yeah. I think
outside of the last 3 minutes, like, what are you going to do about that?
I don't think you can do anything but try to impart some confidence into what you've done, right? I think they're doing their absolute best. You know, I think you're getting the best version of what Nashville can humanly do in these circumstances. And maybe it's not good enough. And it hasn't been good enough so far. And there is a talent gap between these two teams. But like we said yesterday, too, you can't not take the team seriously. You have to show up tonight and play a big game.
As far as the Canucks not making any lineup changes, Rick Tocchet was also asked about Vasily Podkolzin, and there is a chance that we do see Podkolzin go down to Abbotsford and maybe get some playoff games there. So that is the latest in the Canucks Central Roundup. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah coming up. Irfan Ghaffar is going to join us, Canucks insider. His take on Shilov's going tonight and what we've seen out of the Canucks so far in this series. That's coming up. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. You're listening to Canucks Central.